Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Evert, and we're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We've missed a couple weeks again. The crazy hell life happened again.
Summertime, and the living's easy.
That's but not so much.
Just summertime. This will happen from time to time. But we're butting up against the best season of the year, fall.
Woohoo!
I started listening to No Sleep again. I'm like getting all my horror stuff on. Now, I don't want to be I'm a bandwagon horror, but sometimes I don't want to watch horror movies and I don't participate in horror that much. And I'll admit that's probably not the best for a demon because, you know, I got to keep up with my practices. But, you know, sometimes you just got to take a break and read some books and, you know, they're not scary. So,
you know, I guess
it's not the best. I don't like it. I remember why I love horror, but since my demon birthday is in October, you know, I'm kind of akin to loving horror. So,
yes,
is that right?
And now that we've got, you know, September's here, it's the month's eve before the best month of the year and our most favorite time of year.
Telluride Horror Show. So, we get the pleasure of covering this for the last four or more years. It's been so long now, it's just a yearly tradition. I'm not even sure how long we've done it, but you can go back in the archives of Sickle and Ifrit and, you know, see it. But this is the first time. Oh, go ahead.
I think it's been a pleasant surprise. Like every year, I realize how many times we've actually gone.
Yeah,
it's probably been like six years or so. Yeah.
So we're gonna probably spend the most of today talking about the first wave. I know that Sickle's written an article on it, but we're gonna talk about it a little bit today because we love Telluride Horror Show. It's like one of the things we do every year, and it's one of our favorite things. And you know, we're gonna talk about it again right now.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so excited.
So, you know, get ready for that. If you don't know what Telluride Horror Show is, go to the site. You can still get tickets, I think. Telluride's a really wonderful place in Colorado. It's pretty cool. So, and yeah, I'm just so excited.
It's October 11th through the 13th of this year. And yeah, it's in this beautiful little town in Colorado, and it's amazing. It's the best.
Mm-hmm. So the first movie on the list the way that they release their films is in waves, and this is the first wave. So we'll probably do a second wave episode too, but this is the first time we get to cover this stuff on podcast medium. So our podcast has almost been around for probably a year because I think we decided to do this after a horror show last year, and so, you know, there we are. And so this is the first time we'll have a podcast that we get to cover a horror show with, which is really exciting. So
yeah.
But the first movie is 1BR, and the synopsis is, after leaving behind a painful past to follow her dreams, Sarah scores a perfect Hollywood apartment, but something's not right. Unable to sleep, tormented by strange noises and threatening notes, her new life quickly starts to unravel. By the time she learns the horrifying truth, it's too late. Caught in a waking nightmare, she must find the strength to hold on to her crumbling sanity or be trapped in an existential hell. Well, now I feel like I don't need to watch the movie.
Why is that?
Because it's like the whole thing's right there.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where, and like, if you watch the clip, there's a clip that they've posted on their site as well. Obviously, 1BR stands for one bedroom apartment. I don't know.
Is that how you're supposed to say the title?
You're supposed to say 1BR, but I just mean like that's what it stands for.
Oh, okay.
And I just like, I don't know. Like when I watched that clip, I was like, that was pretty interesting. But you could tell it's one of those psychological movies where, you know, there's essentially, at the end of the day, there's two ways it ends. It's either it's all in their head, or everything turns out that it was actually happening. And it's like, at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to, and it's like, are either one ever really a twist anymore when you know it's going to be one of those two forks in the road?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to know if it's like, is somehow creating a new kind of a twist to it, or is it really just something more of the same that's trying to disguise itself as anything, but I don't know.
I'm trying to think of that movie that I watched that one time that was really weird and was like the two girls going back to the other girl's house and she was crazy and it was really psychological, and I can't remember it, but It seems like it's going to be like that, and I'm kind of worried it's going to be like that, because I'm like, I don't want to watch another one of those. I don't need to watch that, so I can't remember the name, but anyway, yeah, I'm worried it might be too psychological, but that can be scary. I mean, it sounds like there might be some other stuff going on, though, so I'm just hoping it doesn't secret window me.
Yes, yeah, here's hoping.
So the next one is called The Girl on the Third Floor. It says bursting pipes, rotting walls, and unidentifiable slime were not what Don Coach expected when he convinced his wife Liz that they could rehab their new Victorian home himself. In over his head, under duress, tempted by an old weakness, Don soon discovers that the house has its own dark sword history and won't so be so easy. This sounds... Oh, sorry. I'm not going to finish it, because it sounds a lot like House on Haunted Hill or, like, those kinds of movies, you know, where you're like... It's like a weird take on Amityville, you know?
Yeah. I've always... when it comes to, like, haunted house-type movies, which is what this sounds like it is, I've always been curious as to, like, why haunted houses have to, like, ramp up to people. And I get the idea that, like, in a lot of cases it's because they're, like, feeding off the energy of the people in it, and so it takes time for it to, like, build up. But at the same time, I'm like, why are they all that way? Because, like... You know, when there's, like, this crazy haunted place with, like, full of, like, evil spirits, and then it takes, like, a week before anything really starts happening, and then at first there's just, like, creaks in the walls. It's, like, I kind of like it when there's, like, a reasoning behind why it's progressing, and I just feel like we rarely get that. But I don't know. I'm just kind of going down a tangent that doesn't really relate, but I don't know.
One of the things I see here is that, Phil Brooks is a WWE person is in this movie, and I kind of like See No Evil because I'm a sucker for those stupid kinds of movies, so I wonder if it's going to be like a little bit more over the top, and that might be cool, but who knows. Very excited for... did you want to say anything else, because I'm super excited for the next movie.
Oh yeah, me too. But like, yeah, just my last thought is, I don't know why, but that shot that they show you next to the synopsis, I don't know why, but it reminds me of actually a movie that we'll be talking about further down the list, but the He Never Died movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but I'm just seeing... When I see that clip, that's what it makes me think of, which had a guy in it who wasn't a wrestler, but also was famous, but not for acting.
Yeah.
That was in the lead role, and that movie was awesome, so...
All right, so this next movie is called Making Monsters. It's directed by Justin Harding and Rob Brunner, and they actually directed some of the best... Or at least Justin directed some of the best short films that we've ever seen at Telluride, in my opinion.
Can you name a couple of them?
Yeah, Point of View, Cookie, and Latched. So, Point of View was one of my favorites because... I actually went out to buy the DVD set that Point of View was on because I couldn't find it anywhere. I went out of my way to go buy it, and it was an Australian short film horror thing. Point of View is about a mortician who finds a corpse that keeps moving when the lights go out and when she turns away. And it's really scary.
Cookie, oh, yes, that one's amazing.
Cookie's about a clown, a scary clown. And Latch is about, like, changelings and stuff. It's really cool, but Latch was really interesting. But now Justin and his buddy Rob are doing a full feature-length film. And it says, when a celebrity couple famed for their YouTube Scare Pranks channel are invited to a friend's converted church in the countryside for a weekend getaway, a series of startling events unfolds that spirals them into an inexplicable nightmare. And the picture on the left looks really, really promising.
Yeah, so I watched the trailer for this one, and, like, it starts out as, like, kind of another one of those, like, social commentaries on, like, you know, on social media and stuff like that, and, like, felt kind of like almost like a satire type situation. And then it just, like, spirals into, like, crazy, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequel, like, just mayhem. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it takes a turn. And so, I don't know, it looks like it could be pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Only because of the short... I didn't know any of that, I didn't watch the trailer, but only because of the shorts that Justin's done, that I'm super duper excited, because those are classic ones that I think are great.
Yeah.
All right, next one's a film from Portugal called Mutant Blast. It says, after a scientific experiment goes horribly wrong with a result in the zombie apocalypse, a fearless soldier named Maria has to partner up with TS-34, or 347, a man with superhuman strength, and Pedro, a survivor who battles zombies as hard as he's battling his hangover. It's up to Maria to lead a quest to a safe place before the nuclear bomb threatens to wipe out the entire city.
It just looks to me like another, like, self-aware zombie comedy, horror comedy. Like, that's what it feels like to me. So I don't know if, like, it probably is going to be one of those ones where it's a lot of fun, but not really anything new.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think that's, you're right. I don't know if it's going to be, like, groundbreaking, but I think I'll probably enjoy it. Depending, because I think it's going to be in subtitles, which my small brain, demon brain, can't handle. but I, yeah, in the theater it's a little easier, so.
Yeah.
So the next, I think, yeah, so I could probably, I'll probably go see that one.
For sure.
The next one is called Seder, and it says, schedules are secluded in a desolate forest. A broken family is observed by a Seder, a supernatural entity who's attempting to claim them. This one kind of seems like a weird version of that, that Jersey Devil movie. I can't remember the name of that you saw.
The Barons? Love The Barons. After watching the trailer for this one, it has this kind of, like, The Fourth Kind kind of a vibe of, like, how it's filmed.
Hmm.
It looks like they, like, interview people and then do, like, reenactment stuff, but it has that feeling of, like, the reenactments are fake, but the interviews are actually real. Like, it gives you that kind of a vibe, even though it's all fake. But it, like, kind of introduces that bit of realism to it that adds to the atmosphere and the freakiness of it. I also get this kind of, like, I don't know, I get this vibe that it's going to be a slow burner. It's going to be a slow burner kind of situation with some great visuals, similar to Possum was last year.
Yeah.
That's the kind of the thought that I'm getting, or the kind of the vibe I'm getting from this one. So I think it's going to be kind of a high-end art house.
You think it's going to be like a Dark approach. Song, or like a little bit less than that?
I think it'll be more abstract than Dark Song was.
Okay. So, like, the thing that got me was that Seder is a Seder, S-A-T-Y-E-R, I think, is like a very different thing than what is going to, I think, happen in this movie, but the picture made it look like it was a satyr, like a Roman Greco satyr, like the thing with, like, hoofs, like half goat, half man. And so, like, I'm just kind of confused and conflicted. If you say it's a slow burner, I probably will let you go see this one.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be and end up taking a stab at that one.
So the next one is She Never Died, which is a official, or it's a, what is it, the sequel? It's like a follow-up to He Never Died, which is kind of, you know, on the nose if you didn't realize that. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool. I mean, I loved He Never Died. And it says, Lacey, a socially detached loner, is cursed with immortality and never-ending tedium of existence. In her attempts to keep her compulsions in check, she seeks out the darkest souls of humanity has to offer. Lacey must now face her own demons, inner demons, while simultaneously finding her next meal. So, pretty similar to He Never Died, but I wonder if he's going to be in it, Henry Rollins is going to be in it, or if any of the characters from the first one. I'm a fan of sequels, especially when it's a IP that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that, like, I would be equally, like, unsurprised and not disappointed if he isn't in it, but then would also be surprised and perfectly fine if he is. Like, it's with the universe, the way that world is set up, the way they've built that world, it's everything is so subtle. And so, like, I could totally see it continuing the story of him by simply with her, because you assume that, like, she's the same as him.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they introduce any new elements to, like, what she is, you're applying it to what you already know about him. And so you can make it a sequel without having any of the characters from the first one, which is, I think, it could be a very smart approach. Or he could show up, and that would be equally fun.
Yeah, agree.
There's a lot of fun stuff.
I am very interested in it, suffice it to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next one we have is called The Wretched, and we've actually talked about this before because we watched the trailer, and it looks pretty freaking cool. Says a defiant teenage boy struggles with his parents' imminent divorce, faces off with a 1,000-year-old witch who's living beneath the skin and posing as the woman next door. So this is the one where, like, the trailer we talked about, like, maybe two or three episodes ago. But I'm excited. The trailer looked cool. I'm in.
Yep. Yeah, the trailer makes it look awesome. It looks like it's gonna be a more fun, like, brutal take on, like, the witch mythos. So. I don't know, I'm looking forward to it.
And it's interesting, because I looked up the Deadheads thing that these directors did before, and I've never heard of it, but apparently it's pretty big, and it doesn't look the same. It looks kind of like these zombies who can talk, and they're, like, running around doing stuff, and it doesn't look as serious as the Wretched does. So I'm interested to see how they transition. Brett and Drew.
For sure.
So, super excited to say that the special presentation with the director this year, that last year was, you know, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and the year before I can't remember what it was, but is Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. So this year the director for Tucker and Dale vs. Evil will be there, and you'll be a whole thing. Joe Bob Briggs is going to be presenting it, so it's going to be pretty cool. If you haven't seen Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, just go see it. It's on Netflix. I'm not going to read you the synopsis, but
yeah, it's amazing. It's one of our favorite horror comedies ever. It was a cult, or like it is reached cult status, definitely. Yeah. So chances are, if you're a horror fan, you've seen this movie.
Yeah, and it actually was one of the closing night films at Telluride's inaugural show in 2010. So
yeah, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years in a row they ran it because it still hadn't gotten a theatrical national release.
And it actually did. At first, it got the digital release too. So like you got it didn't come out in theaters, or it came out in theaters alongside being digitally released, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, and it's easily, like, better than, like, 90% of the horror movies that have come out ever, because it's just, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Agreed. So, the next movie we have references some movies I've never seen or heard of, so I'm gonna, or except for one of them. Anyway, it's called VFW, and it says, pitched as, what does VFW stand for?
I don't know.
Because I've seen it around and stuff.
Let's look. It's veteran something.
VFW.
It's got to be veteran something.
Veterans
something.
Of Foreign Wars. Okay.
There you go.
Pitched as The Wild Bunch meets Night of the Living Dead, stories follows Fred and his military buddies as they defend their local VFW post from an innocent teen against a deranged drug dealer and his relentless army of punk mutants. These Vietnam vets have been to hell and back, but this is the longest night of their lives. So he says, VFW is the fourth feature film from the festival alum Joe Biros in his first collaboration with Fangoria. The cast is a bunch of people that I don't know, but he was at Telluride with The Mind's Eye previously. What was The Mind's Eye?
The Mind's Eye was that one that was a... it was essentially like an... to me, it felt like an homage to Scanners.
Oh, okay.
It was almost a shot-for-shot kind of... like remake of Scanners, in my opinion.
That wasn't the one with the people going crazy with the black
hole. Because it's just about all about
thing, right?
People making what?
Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, it was about psychics that, or like telekinetics that can make people's bodies explode and heads explode and stuff like that, which is what Scanners was.
Okay.
And it, so it felt a lot like that, but it was fun, but it was also pretty campy. It looks like this will be probably around the same route, so it'll be a good time.
Yeah, anytime I see punk mutants, I think, like, you know, what's that weird Lloyd Kaufman is like the head of producer there, and Trauma Films. It makes me think of, like, Trauma, so I'm imagining it's going to be pretty fun to watch at the very least, right?
Yeah.
So
I think so.
The last film we have is called Z. This is the shortest description we have, I think. It says, a family finds himself terrorized by their 8-year-old son's imaginary friend. I'm in. Don't even
care. Which
sounds
awesome.
Yeah, don't care.
Now, I will say that there's, like, that is a concept that isn't terribly original, but only in the sense that I mean that, like, similar concepts have been tried before to varying degrees of success.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Before I Wake, which wasn't really an imaginary friend because it was about a kid whose dreams manifest, and the way that the movie plays out, it's very like you don't know which, or like it's that, like, you know, the characters and creatures that he creates a lot of them. It's not just an imaginary friend, but he does create like a being that like manifests that's evil, and like, but it's not really an imaginary friend because a lot of other stuff gets manifested before that guy shows up. So it's different. But then there's also, like, that really crappy that nobody loves hide and seek with Robert De Niro and Dakota Fanning, where, like, she has an imaginary friend and it just ends up being Robert De Niro's crazy self that he doesn't remember.
Yeah, based on the poster alone, I think this is a little different because they're already trying to instill a monster. But this is the same guy who did Stillborn, if you've seen that, and... he helped, or he was like the producer or something on It Stains the Sands Red.
Oh, yes. And that movie was pretty good. A pretty good zombie flick that I enjoyed quite a bit. I did want to bring up this other movie that I brought up on the in the article that a lot of people maybe probably haven't seen because it wasn't very good, but it was a movie called Cameron's Closet. And it came out, I think, in the early 90s. And it was a movie about a kid that had, like, that could, like, manifest his dreams kind of a thing. But, like, a demon uses it to, like, try to pass into our world through him. Mm-hmm. And, like, you, and then, like, but, like, the first three quarters of the movie, if I remember it correctly, like, you think he's just, like, manifesting this imaginary friend kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But it ends up being, like, a real demon that's using this kid's imagination and stuff to, like, try to come into our world. And I remember it having some pretty fun practical effects in it, but it was otherwise terrible. It's kind of,
like, Insidious similar. Like, because Insidious is a kind of backwards way, but... All right, let's hop into these short films, because we only have a little bit of time left, and there's a lot of short films to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So, the first one's
called Abyssus. We may just be saying, that sounds cool.
Yeah, or just go long. Who knows? But Abyssus is a man who gains consciousness when he's been buried alive. Overwhelmed by the panic, he tries to force his way out of the box and finds... He finds himself in without success. Equipped with nothing but a single lighter, he wallows in hopelessness until strange sounds approach, and with it, true fear. It sounds like a combination of Buried and Tremors, but I know it's not going to be that.
I was going to say it sounds like a combination of Buried and Curve, if you remember that short with the lady that was stuck on the side of that wall.
I do. That was actually really good, so I'm excited for that one. I'll watch that. As long as something happens outside of the box at some point, I'll be fine. Because I get claustrophobic when I see Watch Buried a lot. Bad Hair Day is the next one. It says, an insecure and balding Leo has closed himself in his apartment and his mysterious hair growth liquid arrives at his doorstep. Leo uses it to fix and he uses it to fix up his looks. The liquid causes a series of grotesque metamorphoses as Leo tries to desperately get the body get bodily changes under control. The events are quickly turning into chaos. Seems cool. I watched
body
that.
Horror. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, I guess now you say it that way, it depends on how deep it goes, because I definitely didn't go see those shorts the one time they had that whole section.
Oh, yeah, the squirm section. Well, it doesn't... I doubt they'll do... I don't know. They seem to do that one, like, every 3 years. They don't stick with that
one, so... Yeah, that's fair.
It'll probably just be in one of the other sections, I would assume.
So this next one is called Bedtime Story. It's a Spanish short film. It says, a witch that is observing from the apartment across the street, and a story no child should ever hear. This sounds like a crazy combination of Terrified, Intruders, and some kind of witch movie. Like,
oh,
I just
man,
shivered.
Still
I just shivered.
Me to think about.
Saying Intruders, by the way.
Yeah, that one still. Ugh.
Yeah.
The way that was filmed.
Gets me. So I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bedtime Stories. You win. Call for a Good Time. It says a stoner finds out the hard way you never call numbers scrawled in bathroom stalls. Seems fun. I'm in.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, it could be just a straight horror one, but it also sounds like it could be one of the horror comedies.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Hellevate. So, this one says, a man must deal with an elevator company's incompetent customer service while stuck between floors. I wonder if this one's a humor one.
I think it is, and when I watched the trailer, it is not what I thought it was going to be. Hmm. It still is probably one of the horror comedies, but it looks... crazy. I don't know. The trailer is
like,
really
good?
Hard to read. I don't know. The trailer looks like something. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Right.
It is nuts.
Well, you guys watch the trailer and let us know what you think. The next one's called Hopes. It's another Spanish film. It says an unexpected story of a little homeless girl and her hooded companion. I don't know where to take that, so maybe.
Yeah, the trailer is. To me, more it alludes to just like a dark story. It's like a dark tale than it is something that's, like, super creepy. It seems like this hooded companion is, like, somebody that uses her to, like, get like pan for money.
Oh, okay.
To panhandle for money. It's what it seems like. I don't know. It looks interesting.
Hmm. And this next one's called In Sound, We Live Forever. It says, something bad happening.
Yes, and I think that one's going to be very, very crazy artistic style from the very short clip trailer that they show. But it looks like something's going to be very unique. The main thing I brought up when I mentioned this in the article was that, like, there are certain, like, techniques and certain ideas that simply cannot work over the course of a feature-length film. And sometimes it has to be a short film. And we get to experience a lot of very unique versions of filmmaking and storytelling because only a short film would be able to
do it.
Contain it.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is going to be one of those.
That'll be cool. That'll be fun. It sucks that you can't go see them all, you know?
No, I know.
It crawled through
the window.
Yeah, it crawled through the window is the next one. It says a couple has a horrifying pillow talk. Seems cool. I bet this is going to be one of the scary ones that shows on Saturday night.
Yep.
So
that's what it sounds like.
I'm always going to watch those. Those are always great. This next one is called La Noria. It's a Spanish film. There's a lot of Spanish ones this year. That's cool. It says, darkness isn't always what it seems, and it's got, like, a giant demon with hands pressing against a stained glass window.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from that screenshot, but this is actually one of the animated horror films.
Oh, it is hard to tell. I thought that was just someone... Yeah, okay. This seems cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty fun.
But keep in mind, we're saying it looks cool, but we absolutely love shorts, so you're gonna have to throw something really dumb at us in order for us to not like it.
Yeah.
Next one's called Lily. It's a Netherlands film. It's a film from the Netherlands, sorry. A young actress auditions for an older man. A young actress's audition for an older man grows increasingly less comfortable with every line read in the single take horror. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like a little bit of like Starry Eyes, like that movie that does kind of a critique of like the Hollywood life and like what it does to people, particularly how women are treated often in that environment. This one looks like that. There's also one that's, I think it was called Casting Couch or something, that was a short film.
I was
film.
Just going to bring up
it
Casting
was a
Couch.
Horror comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one looks like it's going to be a little bit more serious.
Yeah. So I think it could be cool. The next one's called Most Steps Ever. It says a hiker, a smartwatch, and a maniac with a lawnmower blade. I can't tell if this is going to be a comedy or if it's going to not be, so...
It sounds like a horror comedy. It sounds like it's going to fall in that area to me just with the smartwatch thing.
Yeah.
But it could find a way somehow to make that a horror element as opposed to a comedic element.
Well, you know, you saw that one the other year, too, where that guy was, like, trying to lure out pedophiles and it was in a forest and stuff like that. Or is this going to be more like the bears one, the black bear one?
Yeah. Who knows?
Nest. It says a genre author becomes obsessed with the vivid nightmares of his young son and turns them into and for that turns to them for inspiration.
Sounds like a straight scary one. Although usually those are pretty short, and this one's 14 minutes.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Well, Latched wasn't short, and it was pretty freaky. So
that's true.
Nightcrawl. Two inmates tunnel through the walls of a hellish prison only to find something more terrible. Yeah, I'm in. I didn't even finish that.
Absolutely. And like, the screenshot's even better.
Yeah,
it just gets you even more excited.
Like Alcatraz mixed with, like, yeah, I'm totally in.
With, like, The Descent.
Yeah. OI is the next one from Canada. It says, Barry has a unique problem. He came up with a truly original idea, and sharing it has consequences. So, horror comedy.
So, based on that synopsis and looking at the picture, it looks like more of a horror comedy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, watching the trailer, it is not.
Cool.
Does not appear to be. Yeah, it sounds like it's a pretty, like, serious topic. It feels like it might be kind of in the vein of that other one, like Scanners, like that kind of a thing.
Okay.
Like, he's got some kind of violent telekinetic ability, but it's kind of hard to tell, which is great. It looks very interesting, unique.
The next one we have is called Spasms. It says, in a small town where not much happens, a barrel of toxic waste is found leaking into a creek. No one notices, and the people everywhere are having uncontrollable spasms, resulting in people dying in gory, outlandish ways due to drinking the water that's being contaminated. Bod, this is just a gore horror, probably, huh?
Yeah, I love the line, no one notices. And so that makes me wonder if it's going to be one of the horror comedies.
Maybe.
Just like people are just like... completely oblivious. Like, I was kind of picturing Shaun of the Dead at the beginning. Like, that kind
yeah,
of situation.
Yeah, just, like,
but...
kind of ignoring it.
Yeah. Could be fun.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. I kind of want to see what this other guy has done. He says he does a lot of low-budget stuff, is what something says, so... I don't know. He's got a lot of stuff in his repertoire, so maybe it'll be pretty good. But it does look like more like a comedy horror thing. The next one's called The Burden. It's another Netherlands film. It says, a young woman visits her boyfriend's family home and learns about a sinister history with a creepy neighbor. Soon, all kinds of skeletons come out of the closet. I'm in. That can be fun.
Yeah.
Looks like a not-so-intense version of Dumpster Fire, Garbage Fire, whatever that one was from a while ago. I still still brought myself to watch it because I'm worried it's just going to be too much.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm wrong or I don't know if I'm just like not looking at this the right way, but I feel like I'm noticing a lot more that are longer than normal.
Oh yeah, no, I think like average 10 minutes probably, or longer. Yeah, 10 minutes or more.
Yeah, there's only been a couple that have been like 5 minutes or shorter, which is usually more common, but.
The next one we have is called The Dreamer. It says a mother struggles with her daughter's violent sleeping disorder. I'm thinking like Freddy Krueger. I think it could be cool if it's
awesome.
If it delivers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Next one's called The Fortune Teller. It says things get freaky when a little girl finds an origami fortune teller, and it's like a fortune teller covered in blood. So, seems cool. Maybe.
Yeah.
The next one I know you're excited for.
Oh my gosh!
It's
oh,
called
I'm so excited.
The Procedure 2. It says a man is forced to endure another strange experiment. So The Procedure was a movie like that we saw maybe 3 years ago, or a short film we saw 3 years ago, and it's probably one of the most hilarious like horror shorts that we've ever seen. So
it's disgusting, but it's hilarious. Like not that disgusting, but like
yeah, I was gonna say it's not disgusting. It's just a little bit weird.
It is the loudest I've ever heard people laugh. In a movie theater. I have, like, any comedy, anything I've ever been to, I've never heard people laughing so hard in my life. So I'm so excited for that.
So the next one is an animated called Toe. It says, a shaving boy eats a rolling toe he finds sticking out of the ground. Later that night, something dead comes to the bedroom wanting it back. This is, like, probably what the Scary Stories in the Dark should have done, because this is, like, the same story there, right, you know?
Yes, yeah, that sounds like the exact same thing.
This will probably be better than the entirety of that movie.
Yeah, I agree. This is exactly what they should have done. It should have been like almost like an ABCs of Death thing, but just with the Scary Stories to tell in the dark.
Yep. So, next one's called Wash. It says a short horror film about the worst fear a parent can have.
I don't know. What direction is it going to go in? Is it going to go in the XX direction? Where that was an anthology movie directed by all women, and there was one in that that was about a kid, one of this mother's kid that looks into a box and decides that he doesn't want to eat anymore, and then her son just like starves to death, and she doesn't know why. It's like, is it that kind of scariest thing that it could happen to a parent, or a little bit more visceral than that? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The director's just named Kiggs, and that seems a little pretentious for me, so. The next one's called Wild Love. It's most likely an animated based off what I'm looking at. It says when a romantic getaway, Alan and Beverly cause a fatal accident, the crime remained unpunished. My guess is they hurt a beaver somehow, and that beaver ends up the beavers end up getting revenge on these two for not caring.
Those animated shorts are usually about 50-50 whether or not they're funny or not. Like purposefully funny. Like some of them are purposefully trying to be something else, but like usually like about half of them are purposefully trying to be funny. This looks like one of those.
There's that French one like 1 or 2 years ago where like it started off with those two people getting in a fight, and she says she has cancer, and then like he doesn't care and breaks up with her. And I can't remember what happened at the end of that one or why it was horror, but I'm wondering if it's going to be weird like that one or if it's going to be just like straight up animated entertainment.
It's hard to tell with the animated ones because they're so like wild cards every time.
That's true.
And then also when it's foreign, it's even harder to know.
And our final short from Wave 1 is Wither. It's a UK film, and it says, in a town acclaimed for honoring ancient folklore, a young girl finds herself vulnerable to a sinister mythological farmer after falling in to contribute to the annual tradition. Seems like Midsommar toned down and probably in more. Just more. I don't know more what yet, but more.
Yeah, that one. Sometimes when those ones, they sound like very enigmatic. That one sounds very enigmatic to me, and so that one could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Something different.
So that's the first wave. We just chatted about it. If you are interested in Telluride Horror Show, go check out the site. You can still get tickets. There's a lot of good stuff in Wave 1, and Wave 2 is going to be out soon, so keep an ear out and just take it from us. It's one of the most enjoyable things you can do every year.
Absolutely. It's something that I look forward to. As soon as it's over, I'm looking forward to it the next year. Like, I love it. It's the most depressing time of the year is when me and Ifrit get back from it. And I get so excited when we're going up, like a little kid in a candy store.
So, yeah.
But I I don't know about you. I kind of, if you're okay with it, I was kind of hoping maybe we could run a little bit long and at least talk about It Chapter 2 sure. and Ready or Not.
Yeah, let's do that. So we both have seen It and Ready or Not. So let's talk about Ready or Not, for instance, a little older. Ready or Not was a pretty awesome movie with who I keep thinking is Margot Robbie but isn't. It's the lady from The Babysitter, and I can't remember her name, but it was, I loved Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. I thought it was so well done. I just feel like it hit all the right notes. The movie I'm quick to compare it to, even though they are different in overall, they have very similar bones, but very different exteriors. Samara Weaving is her name, by the way, and she was also in The Babysitter, and also Mayhem.
Oh, that's right.
She was the main character in that. And so, like, she's built up quite a list of just, like, of horror comedies in general. Of, like, in particular, like, horror comedies, which I think is funny that she's, like, nailed down to even a subgenre.
Is Mayhem a horror comedy?
Amazing. I would consider it that. Okay. I mean, it's pretty violent. It's very violent, but also, like, feeds off of that in a humorous way.
Okay.
So, I mean, at the very least, it's a dark comedy. I guess you could say it wasn't really horror, but, it kind of just depends on your definition, but I think it falls in that general vein. And anyways, I just like, yeah, Ready or Not was amazing. I kind of compared it to a movie called Monster Party that is about recovering serial killers that have a party and these three.
Is that what was happening in that?
Yes.
I thought it was they were just art students trying to like be art students.
Oh no, that's Murder Party.
This
Murder Party is different.
The one you're talking about is the one that I don't want to see because I watched a gore clip and I don't want to.
Yeah, Monster Party is it was so like it's about like three kids that try to rob these people because they're all rich, but don't know that they're recovering serial killers. So it sounds like a horror comedy, and sometimes it is, but it's so disturbing that it completely sobers you from the humor parts of it. And there were so many parts where I was just like, this is coming at me too abruptly, and it turned me off to like the rest of the movie. And Ready or Not, on the opposite side of that spectrum, does not do that to
you. Yeah, it doesn't at all.
Yeah, it's so perfectly balanced, in my opinion, between the humor and the thrills, and like it just makes you never feel sobered. And you never feel like you're laughing too hard either. Like, it's just this perfect balance.
And it's got a little bit of, like, up until the very end, it's got a little bit of that Total Recall kind of thing where you're like, are these people just crazy or is there something going on here? And I like that aspect, too, because it does a perfect balance between being a movie that could be just crazies and a movie that could be supernatural. It's a perfect balance between humor and seriousness, like you're saying. I don't know. It's just got a lot going for it.
Yeah, it was so good, and I'm glad. Like, it was exactly what I was hoping it would be, which just doesn't happen very often because I feel like I've become very jaded, and I was so happy it was exactly what I wanted it to be.
Me too. I definitely say if you haven't seen Ready or Not and still can, go check it out because it's pretty great.
It is. Well, speaking of movies that were exactly what I wanted it to be, I thought It Chapter 2 was exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I don't.
Or was hoping it would be.
I want to go watch it again. So like, I recall liking it. I also saw it at very very late at night when I probably shouldn't have, and it was very late. And I went to sleep afterwards, and now I'm forgetting almost everything I saw. So I kind of want to go watch it again because I know it was good. I just need to like recall it was good, you know. And
yeah. I think that like. And I was expecting this going in because, like, it was, like, 10 minutes short of 3 hours. And I knew right from the get-go that I wasn't going to feel those 3 hours. I knew that wasn't
going to happen. Oh, you definitely don't. I agree with that.
Yeah. But I do think that it was similar to... what I really found myself comparing it to, which I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, is actually the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2. Infinity War and Endgame. Because I feel like Infinity War was faster paced and worked faster through its progressions and its characters and tried to like make sure everybody got good screen time. And I feel like chapter 1 of It did the same thing. And then when chapter 2 comes around, And now, of course, Endgame is experiencing all of these things on, like, a, like, steroid level, like, compared to it. But, like, on Endgame, it's a little bloated in that first hour, hour and a half. It's, like, making sure that all the characters are progressing the way that they should. It's trying to make sure that everybody's getting the screen time. What? Yes. Okay. Like, I was going to say that, like, I compare these two to similar things. Like, it's a little bit of a slower go at the beginning. And in hindsight, you're probably realizing, like, wait a second. I don't think I've seen Thanos and or Pennywise very much in this first hour or so. Like, they're kind of secondary. And then, like, but then it's all a big payoff because you're getting that progression comes to a crescendo. And the last hour, hour and a half is just awesomeness. And I feel like that's how I felt with that. But I do feel like it's almost like I feel like it's a necessary evil, so I don't consider it necessarily a flaw. I just think that, like, it was a little bit, there was some of that fluff to make sure that everybody's progressing the way that they should. And I felt that comparison between the two. And I feel like if you don't have that, then it just doesn't work as well as a whole. And when you look at both of those sets of movies as a whole, it's the way it should have been.
I don't know if I agree, but I can see where you're coming from. I just finished watching the first one, like, almost immediately before I watched the second one, so maybe that's why I'm coming at it that way, because, like, I was really fresh on it, and so I didn't have any space to not think of it as a not, like, to not think of it in a different way, I guess. But, yeah, like, I actually kind of wish they did more in the first one with the kids, because have you read the book, It? That's where I'm coming from with this, because the book is insane. Like, have you ever read the book or listened to it at all?
Yeah, I've read most of it. I haven't finished okay. It, like, but I was reading most of it after the first
one. One of the parts I really liked, and I guess this is going to be, like, comparing a book to a movie, but it's just something that I think they could have done easily in the movie that they didn't do, was include the child sex. No, I'm just kidding. it's to spend more time on the kids experiencing it, because they didn't really do it with everybody the way I thought they should have. They kind of were pushing through, and they had certain characters experience a lot more for real no payoff in any way. And I wish they would have done more of that in the first movie, or at least elaborated on it more in the second movie, which they didn't do. And that's the only thing I think was my criticism of it, was, like, they could have spent more time making me scared of it as some of the kids were. Because, like, I don't know. Because you have a few characters that really got it, but some of them were just like, why is Eddie scared of this again? Like, nothing's happened with Eddie. He's never experienced it all until they go down in the sewers, right? But Eddie in the book is a lot different, and his character's a little more developed and stuff like that. And I don't know. That's my only criticism, which isn't that big. So.
Yeah, I felt like, and I feel like that's the struggle with that kind of environment. Like, and I feel like that would be the biggest difference between the two, is that, like, I mean, as far as me comparing it to Avengers, is that Avengers had, like, a decade of developing those characters. And then all Endgame had to do, which is actually quite a tall order, was bring it all together at the end. But you already had so much character progression where it total had 5 hours to work with. And it, Stephen King's It, the novel, is huge.
Yeah, it's way too big.
So
it's super hard to follow, too.
It's so hard. That's why it's really hard to, like, and I'm sure you would agree with this, that even with your criticism, it's hard to judge it too much, because it's so hard. It's near impossible to be able to condense everything perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like it was such, and I know you'll agree with this, it was a very admirable attempt.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it could have been done much better.
I also wish they may have spent a little bit more time with, like, the Stephen King-iverse and the whole, like, the deity system and things like that, because that's a really cool part of, like, all the Stephen King novels and things that he tries to put time into, is, like, understanding what's happening around the characters instead of just with the characters. And, like, I don't think that that's something they could have done in two movies. They probably would have had to do it in, like, a third, you know, like, break it into three.
Yeah.
But you can't do that, because there's already stipulation that it is two parts because of the old TV series, which is, yeah. Which one did you like more, the Tim Curry one or the new one?
Oh, the new one. The new one. It's not even really close for me. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Tim Curry. I think he's, like, you know, head and shoulders the highlight of that miniseries. But on it's good. It's bad in spite of him. It's good. He was amazing. But that series, in my opinion, is bad in spite of him. And, like, people may disagree with me. They may, like... I just feel like a lot of people are picturing something better in their head than what actually was. That scared me so much when I was younger, and I was so freaked out by that movie, and they did such a good job. But then I like went back and watched. I was like, oh my gosh, this is hot garbage when Tim Curry's not on the screen. It's so bad.
Yeah.
And I just could not get over how bad it was, especially part two. The adult actors they got are abysmal. Mm. And dealing with a script that is just the campiest thing ever. I did not enjoy it when I watched it like later in life.
Okay.
And
yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think this one was a made-for-TV movie, so we kind of have to like take it in context, because it really can't compare the two on the same level, you know? You kind of have to be like, well, like, with the budget and with the stuff that they did an okay job or not, you know? Like, keeping it in terms of the idea that the new It's had millions and millions of dollars shoved into them, and the old It was probably not even close to that on budget. So
yeah, totally true. But I do appreciate the fact that even though this wasn't a trilogy, like we talked about in our last podcast, it was nice to see a horror movie get like a two movie commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Like you knew that you were going to get the story completed, and that you had a good product coming out. And I feel like there's just a lot of reasons to say, like, even if you didn't like it, at least appreciate the success that came along with this movie, because, like, I feel like it showed a really fun way of coming out to movie patrons and horror fans alike, just like the Avengers movies come out to movie patrons and comic book fans alike, and, like, finding common ground between the two and, like, feeding off of that. I feel like it was one of the better usages of like mainstream horror.
Yeah.
I feel like it proved that like you can throw a budget at a horror movie and it still turns out really good. Like it doesn't have to always be a lower budget movie. I feel like it also proved that like you can adapt Stephen King. And like I just feel like,
well,
there was a lot.
Some
that
of
this
us
movie
already
achieved.
Think that you can adapt Stephen King and didn't hate Pet Sematary, but you're right.
Oh no! Like you're right. But like in general, overall, like I mean, come on. I mean, I know it's not horror, but like Shawshank Redemption is one of the best movies ever.
That's
made.
That's a Stephen King book.
It is, but like it's just that people don't think about that one and Green Mile because they weren't horror. Anytime you try to translate horror from Stephen King, it just tends to not work out well.
The I guess I want to see it again because I can't remember if it was scary or not. You know, and I'm sitting here right now trying to think of stuff, and the only thing I can think of is the stuff the parts around the stuff I saw in the previews, you know? And
yeah, there are a lot of people that feel that way, that feel the same as you, that like just didn't feel like it was very scary. It wasn't near as scary as the first one, and a lot of people are like, is it because we kind of knew what was coming because we, you know, saw similar like tricks and methods in the first one? Is it because they were kids then and you're like putting yourself in their role, in their shoes, and that's why it was scarier in the first one, you know, like, or was it just simply not as good as the first one? Like people were kind of like, they weren't sure why they were feeling that way, but
yeah, I guess I'm in the same boat then. I can't remember anything that was supremely scary, but I think I'm just more focused on the fact that all the stuff that I did think was scary was kind of in the trailer, except for maybe one or two scenes, and I can't remember those scenes that weren't, you know, and that's really bothering me, because I'm, like, trying to rack my brain for, like, the stuff that I was really scared of, and I can't find it, and that makes me just really want to go see it again to see what's... Maybe I'll go watch it again, and we can talk about it again next time.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I loved it. I thought it was so much fun, and, like, if some people were turned off by the amount of humor that was in it, and,
Hader,
but
I
loved
awesome.
It.
I mean, he was...
I thought James Rosner, I might be saying his name wrong, but the guy that played Adult Eddie, I thought was also just brilliant.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But yeah.
So good.
So, that's the end for today. You know, like, comment, subscribe, let us know what you like and don't like, let us know how you feel about it, and, you know, don't forget about Telluride Horror Show if you're interested, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.